to London and the UK, where a third night of violence in London and a first night of violence in some other cities has produced consternation throughout the UK. Some have called tonight a make-or-break night to see if law enforcement in Britain can actually get a handle on the situation. Joining us from London is Rob Watson of our partner, the BBC. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, John.
I mean, I just have to say, what is going on there? I mean, how are you feeling? We've talked with John Burns over at the New York Times, who described tonight as having people in London and the UK very, very worried. David Cameron tried to reassure people today. How are you feeling?
It is a very good question. I think there's no doubt that London is somewhat shell-shocked. The violence has been widespread. London really hasn't been burnt like this since the Blitz. The police are talking about the worst violence in living memory. People have lost businesses. People have lost their homes. That there is a feeling that these are quite extraordinary times, and that, yes, perhaps not a make-or-break night, but clearly a very important night for the police and for the authorities as they really try to wrest back control of London's streets.
16,000 police expected to be on the streets of London tonight. That's Rob Watson of our partner, the BBC, joining us from Bristol. Joining us now is a resident of Bristol. I believe, Andy, are you in London at this moment?
No, I'm actually in Bristol.
You're in Bristol. Andy Valentine is a resident of Bristol. And I gather that on Friday and Saturday, you were watching these reports of violence on television. But then suddenly, last night, they came home.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Yeah, about 9 o'clock tonight, we had, last night, we had like groups converging outside of my apartments, outside my loft in the center of Bristol. Slowly escalated until we had around 2 o'clock in the morning quite a serious and quite terrifying head-on confrontation between the rioters and the police. It caused quite a lot of uproar. You could see all the people in my apartments against the windows trying to see what was going on. You could see a lot of them were quite perturbed by everything. It's quite frightening times.
Is Bristol a city that has a palpable sense of tension, either economically or racially or among the generations?
No, not particularly. I mean, it's a large city and it has the same kind of like tensions as any other city would, but nothing out of the ordinary. The area where the riots actually did begin in Bristol has, over the last few years, had a bit of a negative reputation. There used to be problems with drugs and such in the area, but that was kind of been squashed in the last 2 or 3 years. Though that stigma does sometimes, unfortunately, still stick to the area, but now it's a lot better than it used to be. It was just the place where it all started yesterday.
And we were speaking to Andy Valentine, who's a resident of Bristol, where rioting came to by surprise to his city last night, the first night of riots in Bristol, but the third night of riots in London, where Rob Watson is with us from our partner, the BBC. So what do you make of this spread beyond London and a sense, at least to the international sort of news consuming world, that there's some sort of latent criminality in Britain that needed just a simple spark to ignite?
Well, if you're asking what's behind all this, I think the short answer is, John, is nobody quite knows the answer. There are, of course, several theories, some that this is just opportunistic criminality. You've just got people out to take a chance to steal stuff and that they're enjoying it and they're getting really stuck in, and that it just took one spark over the shooting of a man in a part of North London, but that essentially what's followed since then is just straight forward criminality of the worst kind. And then you've got other theorists saying, well, no, this is evidence of a underclass in Britain, a young underclass, people that have never worked even during the boom years, the years of economic growth and government spending, and that there are these underlying socio-economic reasons for it. The government's focus, if you like, at this very moment, it isn't really in asking the question, well, what on earth is going on? It's just to restore order, because they're acutely aware of the images going around the UK, but also, of course, to our business partners, to people thinking of coming here for the Olympics. So the restoration of order is priority number one.
Rob Watson, of our partner at the BBC, Brian Paddock, who's a former police commissioner there in London, suggested this morning on this program that if they can't hold things down tonight, that the law enforcement in London may be out of weapons. They don't have water cannon. Bringing the army in would be seen as a complete failure of law enforcement in London. Do you buy that notion?
Well, I think it's certainly the case that both the police and the politicians would be very reluctant to depart from Britain's model of policing, if I could put it that way, which is different to what you would see in the United States and certainly different to what you would see in continental Europe. They like to call it the consensual policing. You might think that sounds a bit odd when you see policemen with riot shields and dressed up in that heavy gear. But they would be very reluctant to either call in the army. I think that really would be a step that people would be really wince at taking, or even the police using water cannons. But certainly there is talk of more robust policing, and I think that probably means things like the use of rubber bullets.
Rob Watson of our partner, the BBC. We're going to give you a feel of some of the voices that we've been listening to coming through the World Service, which, of course, has been covering this all night. First of all, here are some voices from the streets overnight.
Like everyone was just going to riot, just going mad, like chucking things, chucking bottles,
breaking into stuff.
It was good
breaking
though.
Into shots. It was madness.
Yeah, it was good though.
It was good fun.
Yeah,
of course it is.
The laughter there, rather chilling, as we learned this morning that at least one fatality has been a consequence of this rioting overnight. Here's Nick Dubois, who's a Conservative MP, a Member of Parliament for the London constituency of Enfield North, one of the neighbourhoods severely affected by the rioting, speaking with the BBC's The World Today.
The real test of the government won't be just what happens in the next few days, but it will be then what justice is there. If we just end up with no semblance of justice that a lot of people don't have confidence in, that people will just go to court and get a slap on the wrist for this, that will be a major failing, and it's something that the government have got to be prepared to take on and deal with. I wouldn't get hung up on whether the Prime Minister's back yesterday or today. The question is, what is going to happen in the next few days?
Nick Dubois, Member of Parliament. Andy Valentine, did you get any sleep last night?
No, I actually haven't been to bed yet. It's just coming up to 2 o'clock here. And no, I stayed up through the night purely for the reason that my girlfriend, she was terrified about what was going on. So I made the conscious decision to just stay up through the night, make sure nothing else was going on, keep an eye on things. And so if there was any trouble, we could get up and get out as quickly as possible.
Well, Andy, let's put it to you. We've heard from a member of parliament, Conservative member of parliament. What does the government have to demonstrate in the next few days, in your view?
I think they just need to try and show that these youths, they just won't stand for it, whatever means that it takes. I think by bringing, there's all this talk about potentially bringing in the army. I think by doing that, they're saying the mobs have won, and we have to try something else. And I think that would be quite a major step back for us. And I think depending on how this evening goes, obviously we don't know how the evening's going to pan out. There's obviously a lot more police on the streets than there have been in the last few days, but I think they've just got to show that they're that dominant force and they're just not going to put up with it.
All right. A tired and nervous-sounding Andy Valentine there, resident of Bristol. Good luck, Andy.
Thank you.
Before we go, Rob Watson of the BBC, between now and sundown, you got about 6 hours. What's going to happen?
Well, you're going to see the police preparing. I think that they're going to try and get better intelligence of where any trouble might break out. And I think you're going to have an awful lot of politicians, shopkeepers and residents crossing their fingers and hoping for the best.
Rob Watson of our partner, the BBC. The world will be watching London tonight, the year out from the Olympics, the unrest. Will there be a fourth night? We'll keep you up to date on the arrest in the UK. Follow us all day by heading to our site, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Huckabee. Celeste Headlee is out this week. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.